Well, good morning. It's another cloudy Monday morning on September 23rd, but the sun is shining in our hearts. And take note of that though there's clouds around us, the sun is always shining. That's kind of like God, isn't it? Don't let this week's victories be clouded by last week's struggles. God is desiring to do a new work and a great work through His church and through you. Know today that God has a plan for you that He alone knows about. So let me ask you something. Have you ever heard of these phrases? And there's two of them, really. The first one says that sinners are going to sin. You know, it seems when people do things and, you know, it may frustrate you, there'll be those that come up to you and they say, well, hey, you know, don't be too hard on them because sinners are going to sin. Or maybe somebody will throw kind of a theological element to it and they'll say, well, sinners sin because they're sinners. They are not sinners because they sin. And I don't know if that helps you or not when they ask you these questions or make these statements. But, you know, there is some truth to them. And I kind of want to bring that to your attention today. I mean, think about it. How do these truths play out in society? How do these statements, if you will, play out in society? And how do they play out in the church? You know, every one of us has been infected and impacted by sin. And I use that word carefully, but really truthfully. Sin is really kind of an infection. And it's impacted every aspect of our being. You know, the doctrine of total depravity, it varies. You know, there's a lot of different ideas on what it means to be a depraved person, or a totally depraved person. But regardless, one fact is present in all of the aspects and all of the thoughts and definitions of total depravity, and that is that we have been in some way impacted by sin. And so with that understood, every one of us, therefore, must look to Christ for forgiveness. In a sense, we are all on the same level here in that we've all been born as sinners and we all need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. There was a news outlet some years ago. I don't know if it's still in circulation, but it was called Eagle News. And it had lots of different aspects of news and thoughts and things like that. And there's one article that jumps out at me from 1961. And it's a little lengthy, but I'll try to read it with clarity. And it says that Edwin Cooper, was a famous person in America. Yet almost no one knew his real name. Coming from a family of circus clowns, Cooper began performing before audiences when he was just 9 years old. After a stint with the Barnum and Bailey Circus, he became a fixture on television in the 1950s as Bozo the Clown. In addition to entertaining both young and old, Cooper had a message for his buddies and his partners every week. Get checked for cancer. That was his statement. Yet Cooper was so busy working that he neglected to follow his own advice. By the time his cancer was discovered, it was too late for it to be treated. Edwin Cooper died at just 41 years of age from a disease he had warned many others to watch out for. Sin is far more deadly than the most aggressive and fast-growing cancer, the article says. Sin grows and destroys everything it touches. From the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden until now, sin takes no prisoners. This is the purpose behind everything Satan does. Jesus said the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy, John 10:10. Because of his evil nature and his hatred of everything good, the devil brings destruction to everything within his reach. And then the article concludes by saying, when we regard sin as God does, we find nothing amusing or humorous about it. We will not make it the subject of the jokes we tell or those we hear. We will not allow ourselves to be tempted to get a little closer to the line to see if we are still safe. God hates sin with a holy and righteous fury, and so should we. When we find ourselves amused by sin, it is time for us to focus on the cross. Seeing the price paid for our sin reminds us that it is no laughing matter. That is from 1961. Very true, isn't it? Let me read something from the Bible here. It's from Romans 3:23. It's just one verse. Again, reading from the New American Standard. It's the Bible I always have open on my desk in the church office. And here's what it says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let me break this down for you real quick here. I know you've got a busy morning, but I want to just give you a few words to think about. First of all, we have all sinned. Every one of us has sinned. And that word sin comes from the word humartano. And humartano refers to missing the mark in an absolute sense. That's the definition of sin here. We have all missed the mark. Those who fail you in your circle, in your life, before you, no, they've missed the mark. In fact, you've missed the mark. And also, we have fallen short of God's glory, every one of us, as the verse says. And that word glory is an interesting word. It comes from the word doxa. And doxa refers to the glory of one's internal character. One of the great champions of the faith, Martin Lloyd Jones, talks about how men have fallen, how they have fallen in their moral attributes. And he says here that glory in that sense of one's eternal character, as it refers to one's moral attributes, is holiness or separation from evil, purity and hatred for God. In this sense, that if we look at it as we've fallen short of the glory of God, that our moral being, everything we do morally, has fallen short in God's holy standard, in God's holiness, in His purity, in His hatred for evil, that we have been impacted and infected in that sense. And also, man has fallen short in their sense of excellence in perfection. Again, Lloyd-Jones says that we can see and understand sin when we go into the presence of God. But since we have fallen short of our moral attributes, that we don't do that. That is not in our inclination naturally to go to God and see our own sin. And I find it interesting there, when we look at how we have fallen short, it has taken root in us internally, our moral compass, our moral direction, everything we do morally, our attributes, they have all been impacted and infected by sin. And we all then, as a result, fall short of God's holy standards and moral perfections. You know, we talk a lot about the love of God. We talk a lot about the grace of God, and rightly so. But God is still holy. God is still perfect, and He still has a standard. It is not dissolved one bit. It has not been demoted, if you will. It is not decreased one bit. God's standards are still perfect. God's standards are still holy. But that leads me into the fact that we are all in need of God's forgiveness. That's where Christ comes in. And that He took our punishment to bring peace to God. He satisfied the righteous demands of God, the perfection of God, the holiness of God, by taking our place on the cross. So we must, friends, look to Jesus Christ. In fact, Colossians 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And that's the one last word I want you to remember today, forgiveness. That comes from the word ephesus. And ephesus means to be pardoned. Literally, because of Christ's death on the cross, in your place, God has pardoned you. You have been forgiven. You can never be tried again for sin. Think about that today. And as you do, let me leave you with this one final thought here. When people let you down, remember, all have fallen short of the glory of God. When people give you a hard time in life, remember, all have fallen short of the glory of God. When you yourself feel hopeless and helpless, and life seems despicable and despised, remember, all have fallen short. Let Christ be your hope today. I hope you have a great day, and may the Word of God dwell richly within you. Amen.